All righty then, we're getting closer. Well, yeah, we just got to make it feel like the weekend, whether it is or not. Happy Thursday. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. 8:07 is your time check. Brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes, where we're never tired of winning. Trump does it again. I mean, it is home run after home run. It's almost to where, is there like a mercy rule where he can give the Democrats a break? Is there a mercy rule? Can he just keep winning, keep hitting home runs? I mean, running up the score, making them look so stupid on every level. Mm-hmm. All of their prognostications are absolutely wrong. All their gloom and doom, absolutely done. They couldn't have said things that were more wrong before, leading up to his presidency, and then even during his presidency. Tariffs are the end of the world.
Well, are we in World War III yet, Bob?
No.
Okay. Has our economy tanked, and has he shot anybody yet?
No, not even on Fifth Avenue.
Okay. Well, see, that's pretty amazing in itself. I mean, you can just kind of go down the list. Despite the tariffs, do all the world's leaders have disrespect for him?
No, I wouldn't say. I say they even, there's a great deal of respect.
Huh.
Yeah.
So basically, as predictors, they really failed miserably.
Oh, yes, they have. Because they didn't go into it really trying to predict what was going to happen. They predicted what they wanted to happen. Can you imagine that? We've talked about this before. Rooting for the failure of America because you hate Trump so much. And it's not just hating Trump per se. Oh, no. They hate all of us who fully support him. They hate all of it. Make no mistake about it. Who is it? Somebody that called in during What's Bugging You said that the local TV station had some kind of poll. Do you agree with the statement that Dr. Rockwell made from the school board, you know, the one that was very disparaging toward both Hulk Hogan and anybody who is MAGA? You know, another dead MAGA? Good? And 67% of the respondents agreed? Now, granted, it could be, you know, 10 people.
Sure.
People are busy, whatever. They're not always going to. But that's still, that was kind of, yeah. It's gross. Was I happy when Obama was running the show for 8 years? No, I wasn't happy. But I never took it out on my fellow Americans. I never took it out on my relatives. This whole Trump derangement syndrome, people, I know personally, people who their family, I mean family have been through ups and downs and tough times, stop talking to them because they voted for Trump. Isn't that sick? I mean, isn't that? How can you explain it? These people are truly, they're deranged. The people that go, oh, another dead MAGA, good, are truly deranged. Can you imagine what that person really thinks? You know, how much do you put out on social media? You know what I mean? You tell a little naughty joke. Yeah, I wonder what the level of your depravity is. There's nothing wrong with a dirty joke here and there, but remember, what she said was over the top. And you have to wonder, what does that person really think? You know, if they were totally unfettered, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Had a couple of shots of Fireball,
mm-hmm.
You know? Tell us how you really feel about it, doctor.
That could be scary.
I'd like to plow every one of them with their own four-wheel drive trucks and bury them in the swamp and give deer guns to shoot them with. Or something like that.
You get the idea. But despite the TDS, the Trump derangement syndrome, it hasn't slowed down the Trumpster. He is out there crushing it. Here's another one. President Donald Trump signed a bill Wednesday to empower the Department of Veteran Affairs to help prevent the foreclosure of veterans' homes. Now, I know what your next question is. Really? No president before that thought that might be a good idea to protect against the foreclosure of veterans' homes. Remember that nightmare? 2008, everything began to tumble. and like Bank of America and some of those other really grotesque, ugly, nasty mortgage companies and banks, how they were just ripping people's homes out from under them. And that was sickening. And that whole idea, too big to fail and all that, that was gross. And you know, a lot of veterans were impacted by that. They stole their homes, too. You would think that this would have been addressed before. You see, that's the difference. Trump loves the military, and he backs them up.
Exactly.
And the Democrats can say whatever they want. They make up that lie. They perpetuate that lie. What did he say? They're all suckers and stuff. He didn't say that. We know that. That was a lie. But they perpetuate the lie. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Blah, 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 blah. What matters is, where's the rubber meet the road? Show me your action. You say you're, oh, yeah, we're for the veterans. Yeah, you're for the military. Yeah, for the military wearing dresses. Yeah, no, that's not the same thing. Trump actually backs it up. And it's amazing that it took somebody like Trump to do this. You'd think this would already be a done deal. The bill authorizes the VA to pay the holder of a loan guaranteed by the VA an amount necessary to avoid the foreclosure of the loan, provided that the holder of the loan and the veteran obligated on the loan execute documents to ensure the VA obtains a secured interest in the property covered by the loan. And so basically, this is to prevent them from losing your home. It doesn't mean they will always prevent every loss of home, but it is definitely a safety net which can be utilized effectively to keep a veteran in their home. And it's sad to think that, what are we, the year 2025? It takes Donald Trump to do that?
Well, look at the contrast. What was New York City doing to veterans who were staying in hotels when all the illegals showed up?
Sorry you got to go. Sorry you got to go. We have some newfound friends. Newfound friends that have come to town, and you're out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just, again, there's a whole other derangement.
We have newcomers.
Open border derangement.
Yes. We have newcomers that need a place to stay.
Yep. I think I touched on this one already, but it's from a different perspective a little bit. Maybe not. No. The New York Times, a far-left propaganda outlet that spreads conspiracy theories and utilizes hoaxes and blood libels to spread hatred against Jews, is obviously big mad over Wednesday's triumphant news about the second quarter GDP growth. Outperforming the estimates of every so-called expert, America's second quarter GDP grew by a robust 3%. This exceeds the Dow estimate at 2.3%. It reversed the 0.5% decline the first quarter of the year that was experienced. Consumer spending rose by 1.4% in the second quarter. Exports declined by 1.8% during the same period. Better still, the GDP data shows that inflation is declining, although it has yet to be completely subsided, but it's still declining, and that's a good thing. And in the wake of all this good news, here's a headline written by the New York Times. U.S. economy slowed in first half of 2025 as tariffs scrambled data.
Wow.
Now, remember, the news that came out was saying that, look, we had 3% growth in the second quarter GDP. That is something to applaud. They don't mention the second quarter.
Oh, man.
They mentioned the first. Well, they talk about the first half. Slowed. U.S. economy slowed.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was slowed in the first quarter. It made a tremendous comeback in the second quarter. These people.
Are we surprised, though, really?
No, I guess
it's
not.
It's just sad. It's just sad.
It's
sad
just
people.
How long. I mean, and it's not working for them. It's not like all of a sudden, they're getting support. Their polling numbers and support for Democrats is atrocious.
Worst ever, yeah.
8:16 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And never miss a minute of the show. Search the Bob Rose Show on your favorite app. Hit the follow button and you can catch up on every episode, every hour, every highlight, whenever it works for you. Now on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcast, you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Yes, the Deacon of Knowledge is here. And I'm here, too. I'm Bob Rose.
We're glad you showed up today.
Yep. And Greg Cassidy, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Wash the car today or not? What's the deal?
I don't know. Busy day. Got a lot going on, and we've got an event to attend tonight. And it's just going to be so hot. You can almost only do it in the evening and even then under shade somewhere.
We're going to get some rain?
I don't know.
And is this heat wave abating just a tad bit or what?
They're acting like, isn't it bad when you talk about a high of 93, like, whew, oh man, cool wave, you know.
Your face maybe might not melt completely off, although it will become smudged, much like a wax figure too close to heat,
heat source. Don't bump into anything. It'll be a permanent mark.
My goodness. All right. Yeah, we could use a little break. I mentioned Time Check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It is 8:22. Now, we've talked about the video, Cincinnati's brawl that, you know, broke out, and just graphic and, you know, like a man punching a woman right in the face, knocking her out cold. It's just, it is really, you go, wow, I mean, are we really civilized? What year is this? Where do we live? People behaved, I think, you know, better in the 12th century.
Yeah. Scary.
And here, very much kind of like we have the Alachua County School Board and mm-hmm. the comment that Dr. Rockwell made about MAGA and specific to Hulk as well. Anyway, so a city councilwoman in Cincinnati is under fire. Huh.
Okay.
Under a post from a Facebook user shows the vicious assault that appears to belong to Councilwoman Victoria Parks commented, I guess under the thing where the video showed, and this the councilwoman basically saying this on Facebook, they begged for that beatdown.
Whoa.
I am grateful for the whole story, the comment continues. The comment links to a Facebook account for Victoria Parks, who lists her job title as city council member, Cincinnati government. The account also says she was formerly the commissioner, Hamilton County, Ohio government, former chief of staff, Hamilton County commissioner, etc. The information lines up with Parks' biography, and the city council is officially nonpartisan, but Parks, like all nine members of the governing body, was endorsed by the local Democrat Party.
That doesn't sound very nonpartisan to me.
It really doesn't,
and
does it?
This person doesn't sound very nonpartisan either.
No. Nope. People are calling for a resignation. Defending violent criminals who viciously beat innocent people is disgusting, said one. Other people called her, well, nastier things. And the beatings occurred on the corner of 4th and Elm in Cincinnati's downtown business district in the early morning hours on Saturday. Video that has been shared widely online shows a group of people savagely assaulting two others during a confrontation with a woman being knocked out cold in the street. In her official city biography page, Parks says that, quote, she led the charge in passing racism as a public health crisis when working for the Hamilton County governor. It also says that she introduced and passed Juneteenth as a paid holiday for Hamilton County employees. In January, she did announce that she would not seek re-election and she will retire after her current run or her current term ends.
Good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. She said they begged for that beatdown.
That's incredible.
Yeah. You're saying, hey, if anybody's, you know, itching, man, you know, anybody starts anything with you, yeah, just pummel them. Mm. If you're a man and it's a woman, you know, you're going to knock her out cold.
Wow.
Isn't that is, wow. Again, here we are, modern era, I thought. Not so civilized we are. Hey, there was a couple of Fed Reserve folks, okay? There's, you know, there's board members.
Right.
There's the you know, the Fed chairman, of course, Jerome Powell.
Always getting Donald Trump's attention.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, and deservedly so. Look, you could argue back and forth about lowering the rates or whatever, but if you look at all the data in the same way, through the same prism, it's always been looked at since they began adjusting rates in this way. The criteria is there for lowering of the rate. And especially with the news yesterday coming out that GDP in the second quarter growth was 3%. I mean, that's just rock solid. When you see that and you see that inflation is under control, maybe not meeting exactly that, what, two percentage points over a quarter, maybe not quite meeting that, but it's very close. It's less than three, I believe. You know that Jerome Powell, under another president, probably would have lowered the rates. I mean, the criteria didn't look nearly as good right before the election when he did actually lower the rates. So why did he lower the rates then? And now you could make a much better case for the lowering of rates. But yet,
Maybe trying to make the economy look better for the previous presidents.
Well, at least he had two dissenting votes from the central bank's board of governors for the first time in more than 30 years. So things there at the Fed may be changing and adjusting just a tad bit. And if you want to pick winners and losers, it's pretty clear if you want to be on the winning team, the guy whose last name begins with T is the guy's team that you want to be on. 828 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy Thursday. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. A bit of a soap opera with the San Jose University volleyball team, and I'll fill you in on this in just a second. I just want to remind everybody, our Sky listeners, that the Bob Rose Show is now a podcast, and you can find us anytime on Apple, Spotify, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your pods. You can catch the full episode or listen by individual hour. You can jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Bob Rose Show, and hit the follow button, and you'll get every minute of the show your way on your time at your convenience. And that, my friends, is a very good thing. Here's the deal. This just coming out, Fox News. Former San Jose State University volleyball co-captain Brooke Slusser is 8 months removed from her final season, which included a conference investigation into an alleged plan to harm her by former teammate Blair Fleming, a biologically male transgender athlete. Now, if you remember that, being in the news a few months back. Well, Slusser has come forward with new allegations related to the matter. Fox News Digital interviewed San Jose State Athletic Director Jeff Kanya to inquire about Slusser's claims and other details of the investigation. But Kanya stood up after just 5 minutes of related questions and walked away saying, "I'm done." Wow, he didn't want to address the questions. Slusser previously alleged in a lawsuit signed by 10 other current and former women's college volleyball players against the Mountain West and representatives of San Jose State University that Fleming and other teammates snuck out the team hotel the night before an October 3rd game against Colorado State and met with an opposing player. The lawsuit alleged a teammate who snuck out later told players and coaches of an alleged plan by Fleming in a conspiracy with the Colorado State player to have Slusser spiked in the face during a match. So specifically trying to set her up to get smashed in the face. The lawsuit and complaint alleged the players who snuck out told other players and coaches they saw Fleming also hand over San Jose State's scouting report with an agreement to throw the match in Colorado State's favor.
Oh, my goodness.
In November, the Mountain West Conference launched an investigation into the allegations but concluded sufficient evidence could not be found. Slusser now claims she had a conversation with a teammate who was interviewed as part of the conference's investigation into Fleming's alleged plan. Fox News Digital not disclosing the identity of the teammate, but based on what I was told, quote, exactly what one of my teammates had seen go on that night about talking about the scouting report and leaving the net open was told to those lawyers. So that should have been sufficient evidence of the alleged plan by Fleming. And she wants the investigation, Slusser does, she wants it reopened. People are telling you this happened, and it's not secondhand information. She sat there and heard the conversation between Blair and the former Colorado State volleyball player, Malaya Jones. So to me, just what I know without even having to dig into this investigation, there is sufficient evidence, and they were told sufficient evidence. Fox News can't independently verify Slusser's teammate corroborated allegations against Fleming when speaking to investigators, etc. Wow. Public records obtained by Fox News Digital show Kanya, remember the athletic director, sent emails to help set up interviews with at least six witnesses for the November investigation. Kanya said he was not made privy to any of the information shared in interviews. When asked if he was satisfied with the accuracy and thoroughness of the investigation, Kanya said, yeah, I believe it was done professionally. The Mountain West announced the investigation had closed without finding sufficient evidence and that no discipline was necessary in the November 15th letter obtained by Fox News Digital. The letter and the emails coordinating the interviews for the investigation repeatedly incorrectly stated the game took place on October 2nd. Kanya said he was not aware that incorrect date was repeatedly used, et cetera, et cetera. You get the idea. Soap opera going on, but can you imagine one of your teammates is setting you up with a promise to throw the game
right
and to leave the net area to be wide open so they could increase the possibility of this woman, Brooke Slusser, getting smashed in the face with a spike.
That is some drama there.
Yeah.
That's reality show stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And that the person who is behind this apparently is a person who biologically is different than all the other players on the court.
Wow.
So, yeah. I don't think that may be the last chapter of that particular soap opera. All right. If you're not watching soap operas, what were you watching?
Game shows.
Oprah.
Oh.
Not me and you. I'm just saying.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
The public.
Yeah, pretty much.
Some of the public.
Yeah.
Accusations. A private road running through Oprah Winfrey's estate on the Hawaiian island of Maui remained closed as local residents attempted to move to higher ground following the tsunami warning overnight. Wow. That's probably not a good thing from a public relations standpoint or just being a good neighbor.
Well, she's had her PR issues there anyway, especially after the fire.
As Deadline notes, a statement issued to the media said staff managing the estate immediately cooperated with FEMA as news of the potential tsunami broke and warnings of gridlock on local roads went public. As soon as we heard of the tsunami warnings, we contacted local law enforcement and FEMA to ensure the road was open. Any reports otherwise are false. The statement followed in the wake of multiple social media posts suggesting the road was closed, was also backed up by the Maui Police Department, which in an earlier advisory announced that Oprah's road is open to get up country. The statement acted to rebut criticism spreading on social media that she had closed access to it. But apparently she had opened it. The Deadline reported further noted Winfrey is not alone in having a private part of the island to herself. The actress and former talk show host is among many stars and high-profile figures owned property on Maui. Woody Harrelson, Jeff Bezos, Owen Wilson. And the tsunami alert sparked the action to open the road came after that massive 8.8 magnitude earthquake hit the eastern Russian peninsula. And many people in Hawaii were told to evacuate. And, of course, U.S. West Coast, Japan, they were all alerted on that. And, Oprah, yeah, not getting good media there, but maybe the accusations were a little, you know, premature or just outright wrong.
But like I said, I think the previous things that have kind of stirred the pot for her there, I don't think people think of her as a very good neighbor.
Now, has it been found out that she was part of any big land purchases after that fire ravaged parts of that island?
I don't know that anything's been proven. That was just, all part of the brouhaha, if you will.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Department of Justice unveiled charges against 300 defendants. This has to do with a Louisiana woman who purchased a Lamborghini. Okay, Louisiana woman purchased a Lamborghini. Story? Yeah, maybe not. But if she did it with Medicaid benefits? Wow. That's a pretty good Medicaid benefit. I can't wait to get a few years older. I get on that. Facing fraud charges, Candace Taylor, 35, of Slidell, dubbed the Medicaid millionaire by the Office of Louisiana Attorney General Liz Merle, was arrested Monday. State Bureau of Investigation began looking into Taylor after receiving a complaint from the Louisiana Health Department saying she underreported her income to qualify for Medicaid benefits. So they're like, yeah, something's not right here. And she allegedly purchased a Lamborghini.
Oh, wow.
From 2021 through 2024, Ms. Taylor continued to transfer tens of thousands of dollars between her personal and business accounts, with personal inflows consistently exceeding the eligibility thresholds for Medicaid. And the program is partially funded, primarily managed by state governments, and the federal government establishes parameters for states to follow. However, each state administers Medicaid slightly differently. Taylor initially applied for Medicaid in 2019 under the alias Candace Saylor, listing a biweekly income of $1,900 with no dependents. That application was denied. Less than a year later, she reapplied under the same misspelled name. She was allegedly inconsistent with the years she reported having a dependent. Investigators eventually discovered she owned six different businesses that generated more than $9.5 million between January 2020 and December 2024. A look at her accounts revealed deposits totaling over $480,000, with over $325,000 directly attributable to Taylor's business activities. Yep. And transfers and payments were dispersed from one account, including $45,000 in vehicle payments to Audi Finance, $100,000 wire transfer to Tactical Fleet, an exotic car dealership, followed by a $13,000 debit card transaction for the purchase of a 2022 Lamborghini. Wow. Yeah. But finally, wow. She was busted.
Yeah. Not too smart.
Smart.
Well, yeah.
But not quite smart enough, maybe. 8:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. There's a lot more coming up on the Bob Rose Show. Don't you go anywhere, all right? And happy Thursday, 97.3 The Sky. Happy Thursday. Good morning. Welcome. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 8:49, 11 minutes until 9 o'clock. And thanks for supporting what we do. We certainly appreciate that. We were talking to the Congresswoman Kat Kamick just yesterday, and she was talking about this COP Act that she wants to be picked up federally. Basically, what it says is if you're, police, sheriff's office, whatever, law enforcement, you cannot hire somebody who is here illegally. If their status is illegal, they have legal status, you can't be hired into law enforcement. Now, they can't force the local jurisdictions to do that. What they can do, however, is say, if you hire somebody who's an illegal, then you will be not getting any federal funding, which is substantial in most jurisdictions. So they can't make them not hire illegals. And so I know Greg and I had kind of the same feeling. We're kind of scratching our heads going, well, I mean, how widespread could it be? I mean, why would a law enforcement agency knowingly hire somebody who's here illegally? I mean, you could just think of the myriad of issues that you'd have. Think about it if, the guy ends up on patrol. And, writes a bunch of tickets.
Right.
And then somebody's defense lawyer figures out, did you know this cop doesn't have legal status here in the U.S.? What would that do to all the police work that he did? Would it undo all of that? What if he had, what if he was collecting information on a capital murder case or something like that? What would happen? Because how can you be the person who is the law, right? And you're enforcing the law.
It's a great theory so far, yes.
Yeah, but you yourself have broken the law, and, clearly broken the law.
And continue to because you're still here.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, you think, well, I think most places would probably just avoid that whole, what would be messy on every level.
But why would you even think that it's the thing to do? Where would that mindset even come from?
But apparently it is a thing. Otherwise, I don't think Congresswoman Kamik and others would have wasted their time even drawing it up, talking about it, and debating it. And then we just found out that an illegal alien employed as a reserve officer in Maine was arrested by ICE for overstaying a visa, which makes them at that point illegal. And you know how they found out? The officer attempted to purchase a firearm. So it triggered the BATFE and, you know, the, whatever you want to call it, the FBI, and their background check that they do at your local gun stores, right? It triggered that. And immigration got that information. And the guy's name is John Luke Evans, and he's from Jamaica. And he not only broke U.S. immigration law, but he also illegally attempted to purchase a firearm. Shockingly, Evans was employed as a local law enforcement officer. I mean, this is from, you know, one of the ICE directors, and she was shocked, just like a lot of other people were. Officials with the Old Orchard Beach Police Department in Maine claimed that Evans was authorized to work in the United States and that they did not break any federal laws in hiring him. ICE officials say otherwise. The fact that a police department would hire an illegal alien and unlawfully issue him a firearm while on duty would be comical if it weren't so tragic. We have a police department that was knowingly breaking the very law that they are charged with enforcing. In order to employ an illegal alien, ICE Boston will continue to prioritize public safety by arresting and removing criminal alien threats from our New England communities. But, wow. So, yeah, and the folks at the police department there are still trying to defend their actions. No, 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 he had legal status then when he was hired.
Who would know that better, you think?
Well, it's not like if they knew that he was here under a visa, I may be pushing this a little too hard, but I would say, so when does your visa end?
Right.
It's like a contract. It usually has a beginning date and an end date. And then he would have theoretically told them that it ends on October 1st, 2023.
Whoops.
Yeah. But he did not.
Wow.
And can you imagine if you put time into maybe training this person, but nobody dotted the I's or crossed the T's? I mean, does he have a Social Security card? Did he have to present a birth certificate?
Right.
I mean, you know, it's one thing if you're going to work at the Piggly Wiggly. I think it's another thing if you're going to work and carry a gun and a badge and be an authority in the community.
Yeah.
And this sounds like probably a somewhat small community. And that means there's, you know, a lot less oversight sometimes. How could they let something like that happen?
That's amazing.
And apparently, I don't think it's, you know, that's the outlier. Otherwise, they wouldn't have to actually federally put into effect this COP Act.
It's just amazing you have to anyway. That's crazy. That's almost like saying, hey, you're illegal, but we'll let you vote in some local elections.
Well, precisely. And it's the same people with the same mentality in communities like that, in states like that, in Maine. And that's where they're finding these things. Blue states, blue cities, and basically they're the ones that offer sanctuary.
Yeah.
And I guess that's pretty good sanctuary when not only will they, you know, cover for you, but they'll get you a job that pays fairly well, and you get a gun and a badge.
You'd feel pretty confident. Better than that. Yeah.
That's
amazing.
I mean, look, MS-13 might not be formally trained, but, you know, in gang warfare, they might understand some of the tactics involved.
The principles,
in policing.
Yes. They do know. They're probably very familiar with police activity.
Gosh. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Familiar from one side of the fence or bars or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a crazy one. All right. Coming up, FBI Director Kash Patel revealed that he found piles of sensitive documents on the Trump-Russian probe buried in burn bags in a secret room that the old FBI director James Comey had access to, like his stash.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now, what will we learn from it? And most importantly, will anybody ever get punished as a result? We shall see. Details coming up. The 9 o'clock stretch about to begin. And you're listening to The Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy, live and local on 97.3 The Sky.